time is a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
You sang your swan song to the dogs.
So let's go hour number two on a Friday. It is the Friday roundtable before Texas OU, one of my favorite days of the year, just getting to sit around with all the different guys and different combinations. This is the day where we go different personnel packages. You never know. We may go 21. We may go 12. Kill, kill, kill. Omaha, Omaha. Stoney Clark. You never know what we're going to do today.
Empty formation at 22.
We could go empty.
Like
you never know. We'll go empty. We will go empty. We'll have. You never know. Aaron Hogan's coming out of slot. You can't cover him. You never know. We're at Twin Peaks in Addison. It's 5260 Beltline Road. Brad Kellner is here. Rod Babers is here. Aaron Hogan is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Kevin Dunn is back in the studio making sure everything is running smoothly, and also to make sure you all have a great time tomorrow morning at Pluckers, the Link location. Get on out there. If you've never been one of Kevin's wingmen, you definitely want to check out hornfm.com and find out what that is all about. And for those of you that are coming up to Dallas, maybe your first time, I was thinking of this as I'm driving today, fellas, that first Texas OU experience. Mm-hmm. I talk to Texas fans all the time that say, I've never been to the game. I've never actually been. And I always say, really? You've never been? Yep. You have to go. You have to go see it. If you're going to catch it for the very first time this weekend, congratulations, whichever side you're on, enjoy it. Maybe you're like me and you're a third-party observer and you didn't go to Texas and you didn't go to Oklahoma. It's a bucket list item I tell fans all across the country when they say, I got a bucket list, I'm going to Wrigley, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I told a Bama fan years ago, have you ever been to Texas OU? No, I've heard about it, but I don't know. You need to go, brother. You need to check it out.
Is that impersonation just a Bama fan? Or
I don't know what
that is. Who was that? Aggie fan? Not. Who is that impersonation? Who is that?
Anybody with a bucket list?
No. I think it's like –
because I've got a bucket list. Do I sound like that?
No, it's definitely a southern school, so it's like a southern demo.
I don't know why that became Bama. Bucket list guy. I want to see the Mona Lisa. I don't know what it was. No, I have no idea.
It's got
what
that southern draw, man.
I don't know what that was. That's very bizarre.
Sounds like a Bama fan, though.
But we all kind of remember that first. Rod, you said your first experience was playing in it, correct? You never went to the game ahead of time.
I was never a fan. It's weird because I think Matt Brown and Bob Stoops did so much for this series. And listen, I know I'm not an old head, so I don't remember it much before that. But as a youngster being recruited, I didn't give a damn about Texas OU. It wasn't a big deal to me as a 17, 18-year-old. Nobody really talked about it. It was about Michigan OU and whoever. Notre Dame and
Michigan USC, Ohio State.
Michigan right. Ohio State. Sorry. Michigan Ohio State. Those were like more of the big rivalries. Even Florida State, Florida, and Florida State,
back
Miami.
Back
when I was being recruited. Yeah. You know what I mean? So when I was being recruited by Texas, Mac Brown told me, he said, listen, I want you to come to Texas. I can't win a national title without you. But we got to beat OU and we got to beat A&M. That's where it starts. That's where it ends.
Now, that sounds like somebody with a bucket list. Right
no,
there.
It did. Max, literally, everybody he recruited, he said the same thing. We got to beat OU. We got to beat A&M. He wanted to implant that early on in you. Like, hey, that's why you're coming here. It's to beat OU. Mm-hmm. Now we don't have A&M. It's still about that. So that was my first experience with it in 99. Great game in 99. Matter of fact, that was a Mike Leach fake script game.
Yep.
99, yeah. Fake script. Well, he leaves the fake script on the field. The Texas assistant coaches pick up the fake script on the field. They give it to the coaches, and the coaches go, well, hell, this looks like Oklahoma script. We look like we got ourselves a cheat code here, fellas. I'm doing your little impression.
That was good. That was very good, yeah.
And then they go up there. Texas ends up down 17-0 in the game because Texas believes that fake script. Somebody smart enough to go, guys, I think we've been duped. And then I think second quarter, they throw that script out. They go back to the original game plan. Texas wins 38-28.
Have we ever really given Major,
my first experience.
Have we ever given Major Applewhite in Texas enough credit for that part of it?
That's a great
that
comeback.
You got fooled and duped, and your coaches went to that level, got you down three full scores.
Yeah.
And you came back in this game and beat OU.
I'm with you. That's a great point.
Well, and they were a big underdog in that. I mean, Texas was a big favorite in that game. So that was the neutralizer for Mike Leach or something. By the way, that was like Robin Williams. You just went into like three different characters for like 2 minutes. That was awesome. Like, what was that?
There was a lot going on there.
Yeah, there was a lot. It was great. You were Mac Brown. Then you were – that was awesome. I enjoyed that. But, no, I mean, look, I think we say it every year, but I think this game – transcends sports because it's – I always compare it to the Masters because it's unlike any other. Because if you, when you hear the stories of when the Green Jacket guys get together on that Tuesday dinner and they can tell stories about their win and their game and their time when they won it.
Yeah.
You guys can get together with guys from the 70s, 60s, 50s, and it's the same story. It's the same field. It's the same tunnel. It's the same uniforms.
Yep.
It's the same feeling.
That's true.
So there's a bonding around that.
Is.
That there's nothing else like it. There's nothing else like it.
Yeah, we did that last night, actually, where a lot of the old guys, they've all just told stories about Texas OU, and it's always some grandmother giving you the middle finger along with some, infant doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And no one has to give any background about why it's a big deal. It's just everyone gets it.
It's self-evident.
Yes.
There's no age limit. There's no religion, race. There's no demographic barriers for flipping a bird at somebody tomorrow.
Well, and it's,
anybody can do it at any time.
To be honest, horns down is basically their version of the middle finger. That's their version of giving Texas the middle finger.
Yeah. I'll usually get one of each. Well, I'll go one hand horns down and one with the middle finger right in my face.
They do that,
by
the way. They do that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we got last week. Wags and I got to go to the West Virginia game. They would give – it was double bird followed by double horns down.
Oh, nice.
It was a tandem event.
That's, I like that.
So, and plus, they yelled horns down at us. I've never heard – they yell it as – like, have you ever done that? Have you ever yelled?
The audible horns down.
Have you ever yelled
really?
F you at someone and then they turn to you and you're flipping them off? Have you ever done that?
So they yell like, horn down.
They yelled horns down. And then when you turn, they show you the horns down.
That is, well, they're from West Virginia. So.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They don't know that. We get it. It's a visual. You don't have to also.
Rodney, can we get that impersonation? West Virginia. Come on, go. Go.
A horn down.
That
ain't real country. Horns down.
That's about what it sounded like.
You got to get without the teeth, the snaggle teeth.
I was like, you have too many teeth.
I got too many teeth.
It's going on right now.
You had to whistle when it comes out.
A very important question. Is Texas dealing with the two most redneck fan bases in major college football over the last 7 days?
Oh, so you forgot about Arkansas?
With West Virginia and
Arkansas
Oklahoma?
Arkansas is really redneck.
Two in the discussion, absolutely.
They got to both be in the discussion,
Arkansas is at the top up there, too. Who else? I mean, Bama's got to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, there's
any of the Deep South, some SEC schools.
Mostly all SEC.
West Virginia, Oklahoma is a game that I would love somebody to do a documentary, and I'll watch it, but I do not want to go.
Don't do meth.
I don't want to go to Norman. I don't want to go to Morgantown and see it. I just want to have a documentary.
Got to be the Meth Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what you should call it. Call it Meth Bowl. That's what it is. All right, we roll on here from Twin Peaks in Addison. More coming up on Texas and Oklahoma. Right now, though, let's go back to the studio. Kevin Dunn to tell you a little bit about the folks at Spectrum. Kevin?
You guys are wrong. You know, it's not wrong, though, for all you small business owners. Take a closer look at your phone bill. I bet you're going to find a lot of hidden fees and sneaky charges that you don't realize you're paying for every month. That's because the phone company charges you for things like, and I'm serious about this, gross receipt surcharge, cost assessment charge, access recovery charge, administrative expense fee. You can go on. There's a lot of BS charges there, so stop paying for them. Switch to Spectrum Business. You know their internet is the best in Austin, and now you know you can get their best price ever on business phone. Just $19.99 when bundled with internet. No added phone taxes, no hidden fees. That's right, no hidden fees. So you can save anywhere from $7 to maybe $40 per line, and that is every single month. All you got to do is switch to Spectrum Business, and to do that, you call them, 844-957-0787. That's 844-957-0787. It's Spectrum Business. Give them a call today. Chad, you guys sound great. I'm getting excited. I think a lot of people in Austin are maybe driving up I-35 to Dallas are hearing you guys and just kind of getting ready for this game. It can't start any quicker.
Yeah, no, so I love this day. The energy in town is always great, whether it's here or back in Austin. We were just talking about some of those early experiences, Kevin. You being a born and raised Austinite, do you remember, like, did you ever cry because of the result of this game, good or bad? Did you ever, like, did it ever produce tears?
Yeah, I mean, it has a couple times, but the one time I think I've told you about, so my parents were divorced, really good divorce, by the way, just to keep all this copacetic and all that, but that's true. And they divorced in 1990, but in 1994, my mom and I were living out in South Austin, and I was with her for the game, and we're in separate rooms. And when Stoney Clark made that hit, and I believe, Chad, that was the first Texas-Oklahoma game that you experienced, my mom came busting into the room that I was in, and she had tears coming down her eyes, and she was screaming, you know, we beat OU, we beat OU. And for a lifelong Austinite like her who didn't go to Texas because we've talked about with the whole T-shirt deal for different reasons, but is a serious Texas fan. And when you grow up in Austin, you don't have a pro sports team. That's your team. It meant the world to her. And so anytime I think of tears and Texas OU, I think of her.
Yeah, it's one of those games. Sometimes people –
He's heavy. How do we follow that?
No, that was
fantastic.
I was going to say, one time I lost like $200 on the game and I cried.
Touche.
I don't have anything like that.
Touche, y'all.
Man. Kevin set it up, baby. Kevin had a Cindy story for you. He was going to blow it away. But, I mean, that's the beauty of it.
I also had cancer a couple years later.
Is a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie or something? What's going on over there?
Might as well just leave. I got nothing else I can contribute.
He does it all the time. Stop that.
And you laugh every time, Rod. Maybe it's a you issue.
Every single time, Kevin will set you up to laugh at cancer and make you feel bad about yourself. It's the emotions of it. Some people will talk about, like, I remember where I was when Kennedy was shot. I remember when I was. It's all these, like, tragic things. People remember where they were for this game. If you're a Longhorn or a Sooner, you remember where you were for big losses, big wins. I guarantee you, you get a room full of Longhorns and say, 05, 45-12 on your way to a national title. Do you know where you were? I bet you they do.
No, no question.
Right? Yeah, 08, it's like that. Yeah.
Well, because I know where I was. I was lucky enough to be on top of that press box, which Aaron and I learned over the years. You can't do this anymore because there's too much stuff up
there.
Damn
them.
On top of the press box.
Ooh, that's a great
at
view.
At this game, when the weather's perfect, is the best vantage point. It is absolutely incredible because you hear every sound.
How many human beings have watched Texas OU like that?
Not many. It's us and the cops.
I was going to say, that's
snipers.
Unbelievable.
And the snipers.
So that's right. Snipers are up there.
Well, I will say the first ever Texas OU game I ever attended was on that top on the roof of the press box.
God.
And it was a day like it's going to be tomorrow. It's supposed to be like crisp and clear and sunny and like 56 degrees and rise. And it was the 0-1 game. It was the Roy Williams Superman Christian game.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Man, we should have won that game. Yeah. What were we, 14-3?
That was, you want to talk about indoctrination into that rivalry and what? Because I had already been working in radio and I had covered the game. I just hadn't been to the game. And to have that game with those emotions and, you know, Texas fans were pretty raw at Mack Brown at that point.
We had just gotten blown out the year before.
Yeah, and remember. And they had won the national championship. They went on to win national championship that year with that team.
Right, it's the reigning national championship.
Yeah, second year for Stoops.
Yeah, and, Matt got criticized because he didn't try to go for it at the end of the first half.
Didn't play Set B.
Scared of the wind.
Didn't play Cedric.
Didn't play Set B. That's what he got killed for.
Didn't play Cedric Benson.
You know what the wind can do to a football.
It was windy. We couldn't go for it at the end of the half.
Scare you to death.
And then, obviously, the offensive line got pushed
around.
Roy Williams was awesome. Shut up. But that was my first game. And, I mean, there was at that point, you were immediately hooked for life. I mean, it's like that is the greatest thing I've ever been a part of, even though they lost. Yeah. And, you know, post-game show was rough. But it was incredible.
I'm sorry, E. I apologize.
But
we should have won that.
That was you. That was you, Rod.
The defense played. We did our part. The offense
gave up, 7 points?
The offense didn't do their part in that game.
Yeah, and that's a great one. There are certain rivalries where, look, if you're talking about if there's a small-time D2 rivalry or something like that, it's going to be tough for you to convince an outsider sometimes that it's like, no, Lippensburg State against South, it's a big thing. But Aaron and I come from a similar perspective because we are third-party observers, right? Neither of us went to Texas. Neither of us went to Oklahoma. If you can't attend that game and get it, you just hate college football.
I agree. Yeah.
Or you hate sports. I mean, I think more than that. I mean, you hate sports.
Or you'll let your hatred of one of those teams affect you so much. Like, it's amazing to watch there.
Rod, go take me into that game at the end. I mean, you guys are mad that you didn't play Cedric Benson, right? You lost the game.
Yeah.
And your leading rusher was Victor Reich, or
they play like Brett Robin and Victor Reich were the running backs, and
poor Sed B, and then the rest of the year Sed went on to rush for 1,000 yards and have an awesome year.
And anyway, going back to that point about Sed B, we learned he was so impactful. Remember, he also the two games we lost that year, no Sed B. Sed B didn't start in the Texas OU game. In the Big 12 title game, Sed B gets hurt.
Yeah.
What
did we had Sed B that whole year. If Mack Brown wasn't scared to play the freshman, we probably only lose one game that whole year.
And Rod,
two, because we lost in a national title game. Because we played a national title game.
Yeah, Rod, what did he do in Stillwater the next week? Was it 180?
Yeah, he did something freakish.
Something dumb like that?
Yeah, it was something dumb.
And then people were more mad at Mack Brown.
Exactly. They were like, hold up. So you were holding that guy back?
Furious.
He could have been the best. He could have been one of the best players on the field, period, if he'd have played.
And that was the first time we heard Mack with the – circle the wagons. We're going to circle the wagons.
Oh, man.
Circle the wagons.
And
can't let the loss beat you twice.
We did. Well, and we made it to the Big 12 title game.
And that's the other thing. Let's shift it back around to this game, guys. You tell me, from the Texas perspective, it really feels like 180 degrees from that for tomorrow, Rod, where Tom Herman is right now with this coaching staff, with this team. They may lose this game tomorrow. We all understand they can lose this game.
Course.
But you don't feel like they're going to lose it and there's still bullets left in the chamber.
Yeah, they may be handed it to a freshman. They may be handed it to a true freshman who's a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great point. Great point. Yeah, that's opposite of Mac, right? Because he's gonna be the riverboat gambler if he's got to. I mean, that's why I love about Tom Herman. People get on him for going for it on fourth down. I love the stat that Texas has 18 red zone opportunities so far this year, and they've scored 16 touchdowns on those 18 red zone opportunities.
About that?
No field goals. So Tom Herman, when he gets to the red zone, he's like, no, we're scoring touchdowns. Oh, I don't give a damn about it. I don't want no field goals. I don't care about field goals. I want touchdowns.
And if Keontae catches the ball, it's just one time you'd have been left out.
Both of the stops were against LSU.
So they have not been.
If not for that, you have a 100% touchdown rate in the red zone, if not for the LSU game.
So when they get into the red zone, Dicker doesn't even have an attempt,
is what we're saying.
Yeah. A field goal attempt.
No, he doesn't have an attempt.
Right.
Now once they penetrate.
Well, and if they score there, they might be undefeated in this game.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, if they line up under center and go quarterback sneak, they
like
would
Tom
be
Brady did last night.
18 for 18
that's
on
that's
those.
It.
If Tom Brady can do it, I think Sam Ellinger can do it, don't we?
BK. Preach, brother, preach.
And by the way, if you guys want a stat, I found this digging through stats. It's interesting. Both teams have an issue, at least the numbers would say. Texas is 106 in the country in red zone defense. Oklahoma is 117 in red zone defense.
See, that's the thing.
Can Oklahoma, that's a bad red zone defense, can they keep Texas out of the end zone and maybe force a couple of Dicker attempts that obviously could change the game?
Scoring percentage or touchdown percentage? Because I think in the Big 12, you don't give a damn about field goals. Field goals is a win for defense in the Big 12.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost a loss for the offense.
No doubt.
So I feel
that's
like
why Texas beat Oklahoma State.
Yes.
Kevin mentioned it going into the game.
Right.
They got to force field goals. He was right. It was field goals and those it was the over on downs.
You're right.
Yeah, turnovers,
downs.
Things like that. Yeah.
So I agree. Situational football. Red zone, third down, fourth down, and explosive plays.
Well, and I'll say one other thing about the rivalry, that because that's where we started this. One of the things that makes it great is the coaches, right? The coaching rivalries. Coach Royal and Barry Switzer didn't like each other. Obviously, Oklahoma fans knew that Coach Royal went to Oklahoma. Mac and Stoops, when they brought it back together, and they're because Stoops was best friends with Steve Spurrier, who used to make fun of Mac Brown, and so that came in, and there was Texas. So they probably love each other now, or like each other, but at the time you could tell there was
each other.
Oh yeah, and I don't know if we're gonna get there yet, but I need Herman and Lincoln to start taking some jabs. Come on, let's get in this.
But what's great
about this thing?
To me, what I love about these two guys, Aaron, it's the timing.
Yeah.
They started year one is the same for each. They started the same year, and both fan bases walk in there tomorrow thinking, oh, we've got our guy. Don't take our guy, Cowboys, Browns. That's what Sooner fans are thinking. Longhorn fans thinking, oh, let's have Tom Herman hang around. Both really confident fan bases, which is not what it was at times with obviously with Mac and Stoops, the times during that run. Both teams, Brad, I think, love what they've got at head coach.
Yeah, I think both teams should love what they've got at head coach. And I do think there's some animosity between the two parties, between Lincoln Riley and Tom Herman. I don't think there's a general liking of those two guys by each other. But, we haven't seen too much, I guess, in the public eye in terms of quotes or bulletin board material, because nowadays I think recruiting is such a big thing. And if you've got your head coach talking smack in public about another head coach, that's not a great look. But, I think both teams are fairly happy with where they are, especially coaching-wise. I mean, the fact that Oklahoma didn't miss a beat. They lose Bob Stoops, one of the best coaches in program history, a legend up in Norman. And the fact that the guy who replaces him continues the success. It might be even better than what Bob Stoops was doing. That's obviously impressive.
It felt like it moved up.
Offensively.
Offensively,
it did not accelerate.
And I don't need to tell Longhorn fans what this program went through in the decade before Tom Herman really got there, at the end of Mac Brown and on to Charlie Strong. Like Texas.
We got time. You go ahead.
No, please not. I know you want that as an Aggie fan.
No, I'm
not
saying
that's for the podcast.
Well, I would love to hear that.
But I agree with you 100%. Don't forget about the incest. That incest.
What?
Nature. Not Oklahoma
fans. Oh, by Oklahoma fans. was about to say, yeah.
Derrick Arroyo at Oklahoma, then becomes a legend at
girlfriend?
Texas. Mack Brown coached at Oklahoma, then coaches at Texas.
True.
The reason those, I think, those coaches kind of went at it is because there was a history, like a history. The reason Sam Ehlinger and Baker Mayfield were probably two of the best like quarterbacks to ever go at it because they had a history from the Lake Travis Westlake rivalry. You know what I mean? So there, it's got to be like, look, and even Tom Herman said, hey, man, me and Lincoln Riley used to swap recipes, right? We used to talk ball all the time. Now we don't talk ball as much anymore.
I have a question.
So somebody's got to take a shot at the other, but then I think after that, hell, you know, Tom Herman will go rush the damn field to go after a coach.
I have a question for you guys when we come back about coaching, and there's a story out there that Tom Herman brought in a former coach mate of his this week.
That's true.
And I want to ask you about that. Is there something Todd Orlando needs to be thinking in this game? And I'll also say this. This game to me, because my question when Lincoln Riley took over and took over a great program, was it going to disintegrate physicality? Because, Bob, again, you mentioned earlier Trey Elling's tremendous interview with Bob Stoops today on the Horn during the midday show. Bob Stoops understood because he learned it from Steve Spurrier. You can have a razzle-dazzle, big-time fun-and-gun offense, but you still have to have the physicality and the physicality in the program and on defense, and you've got to be able to run the ball. That's why he was so successful for 20 years. Lincoln Riley is great, but last year Texas was the more physical team.
Yep.
This year is that physicality. Because, again, Lincoln Riley's from the Mike Leach tree, and Mike Leach was big on scoring a lot of points but not playing a lot of defense. I want to see that. Is this where Yancey McKnight meets Benny Wiley, and Texas is the stronger football team on the field in this game?
That's a great storyline nobody's talking about.
Yep.
Speaking of incestuous, Benny
right,
Wiley.
That's true. Let's get into that coming up. Big Three also coming up. Baseball gets started in the CS round tonight with the NLCS. We'll set you up for that. Rod Babers, of course, hanging out with the Longhorn Insider segment coming up, but it is an extended version of all that today with the Texas OU Roundtable. Brad, Rod, Aaron, I'm Chad Hastings, Kevin Dunn back in studio, and we are rolling through a Friday. Come see us, Twin Peaks in Addison. We're on Beltline Road, and this is The Horn. Rolling through a Friday before Texas and Oklahoma. We're here at Twin Peaks in Addison in the Cigar Room on Beltline Road, 5260 Beltline Road. If you don't want to sit in the Cigar Room, they've got great seating out in the other part of the restaurant, so come on by. All the great screens here. You can check out a little baseball tonight and football as well. Let's get you all set up with the Big Three, shall we?
The Big Three.
And it is brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter, just like I did, 512-601-0303, or go to sinussnoringent.com. If you like baseball and football, you got both tonight. NLCS Game 1 is Washington and St. Louis. Michaelis and Sanchez are the pitchers. It's on TBS. And if you want to check out some college football, you got two ranked teams on tonight, not playing each other, but number 20th ranked Virginia is at Miami on ESPN at 7. Then a late nighter is Colorado at Oregon. You just never know what Oregon will be wearing. Whatever they wear, they're number 13 in the country. That's a 9 o'clock start on FS1. And if you really love your college football, Colorado State at New Mexico is a 7 o'clock kick on CBS Sports Network, and I'm not leading to a joke there. NFL-wise, the Patriots got the win last night, 35-14. They are still undefeated. Cowboys at the Jets, Houston at the Chiefs this weekend in the NFL. And as we roll through, we will get some thoughts from the fellas on some of the other big college games of the weekend, maybe get a little NFL as well. Somebody just texted in about if we're simulcasting in Dallas, get the app, The Horn Austin, in your app store. I listened to it as I rolled up north. It's so much easier now driving up and listening to Bucky and Aaron. I used to listen until it got scratchy, and then I prayed a little bit, and then I tried to find this, I tried to find that. And all I did today was I got through the blitz. Right. Actually, you know what? It was literally during the blitz. I switched to the app, got it going crystal clear, and then
you should have been praying during the blitz.
I do always pray during the blitz.
It gets off
pray.
The rails during that segment.
I think the blitz was dead.
I do always. No, the afternoon blitz. I'm talking about, I was listening to morning blitz.
Oh, I thought I thought
the real blitz.
Yeah, you killed
the original.
The blitz. You shot it and buried it in the backyard.
Well, they really did the killing. I didn't really do anything.
Oh, really? They killed it?
You were shoveling dirt.
I think exactly.
I sold.
You're an accomplice.
I sold the lake house. They trashed it. However you want
to. You weren't there. You never witnessed it.
I wasn't there. there. They never took care of the jet ski, so we sold it.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was great listening, driving up. So please get that app. People take it around town and around the world. We hear from all kinds of folks.
It is a great app.
Hunting, fishing, Great Wall of China. We get some amazing stories. So check out The Horn Austin in your app store. And definitely we do appreciate that. We also appreciate Twin Peaks for having us out today. Twin Peaks in Addison. And, again, still in Dallas, but it's a fancy enough part of Dallas to call Addison.
I know. Dallas always calls all of its different communities in the city like a different
it's
like
city suburbs. Name. This happens everywhere.
It's like boroughs in New York.
So much. Yeah, what Addison. Is this? Why are y'all ripping my city like this, man?
Yeah,
come
not
on.
Really. Yeah,
Addison,
know.
BK, tell me if I'm wrong on my geography. Addison is just north of Highland Park, correct?
You're wrong in your geography.
Thank you.
You're
see, exactly, Highland Park.
But it's not far away, right?
Like, you know what I mean?
Is Round Rock and Cedar Park? What are we doing here?
Well, you're a bigger city than Austin.
Pflugerville?
You're the fourth or fifth largest city in the country. Like, you don't need to do that. You just say, no, I'm in Dallas, baby, in Dallas. And Houston doesn't have as many sub-communities as Dallas. Dallas, I think it's the attitude of Dallasites. They were like, no, we live here. He's like, okay, well, it's Dallas, right?
It's Dallas.
No, we live in Addison. Oh, we live in Allen. No, we live here. Like, okay, you live in Dallas.
That's how you distinguish right where you live.
No, in Houston, they don't really.
You're not
going to
go
much.
To New York and meet someone from Dallas who says, oh, I live in Addison, Texas. No, they're going to say they live in Dallas.
People in the Woodlands in Houston, they always say Houston. You have to, like, correct them and say, so are you in the North Houston? Are you from the Woodlands? They're like, oh, yeah, I'm from the Woodlands.
Well,
but
see,
it's
Rod,
really
as someone from the suburbs, I would disagree with you. Even Houston has their.
They
spot.
Do, but people from Houston, from the suburbs, claim Houston. People from Katy still say Houston.
When BK is outside of Dallas, he says he's from Dallas. When he's talking to people from Dallas, he can be more specific by saying I'm from Addison.
But every time I go to Dallas, people are claiming different communities of Dallas instead of saying Dallas.
Because you're in Dallas.
Huh?
That's our point, because you're
he's
in Dallas.
More
you're trying to distinguish
to
within Dallas where you're
no
at.
No matter, even when I'm in Austin, people are like, oh, no, man, I'm from Highland Park. Or I'm from here.
Oh,
it's
Highland
like,
Park is every, like, that's a different breed
no,
of people
that's
up
Jerry
there.
Jones.
Exactly. Everybody in Dallas is trying to claim their individual community. Like, it's better than the city of Dallas. Like, we are better than everybody else in this community.
I might start claiming Highland Park, you know. That's what I use
idea.
As a pickup line on 6th Street in Austin. Like, I'm from Highland Park. They're like, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You drive, that's the Nissan Altima you drive. No, that's somebody else's.
Nobody
that's not mine.
So is Highland Park in Dallas or outside of Dallas?
It's in Dallas.
So nobody from River Oaks in Houston is saying, I'm from River Oaks, the richest part
oh,
of
yeah,
Houston.
They do.
No,
oh,
they
yeah,
don't.
They do.
Dude, E, you are so wrong, bro. You are, I went to school in River Oaks at Lamar High School, which is really 5 minutes from the Galleria. Nobody says, I'm from River Oaks, bro. Nobody says, I'm from H-Town, baby. You're from H-Town. So you might know that, but nobody says that. Only people in Dallas want you to know, I'm from the richest part of Dallas, so I want you to know that. Nobody else does that, bro. Not in H-Town.
I would.
Different community.
Dallas-Houston rivalry on Texas OU Friday.
I would like to get a comment from Kevin Dunn back in the studio, born and raised in Austin.
Westlake.
No, he loves.
Exactly.
No. Hang on. He
no
loves
fault.
The Dallas-Houston thing, and he's always been trying to figure it out. Kevin, did that last 2 minutes confuse you more than you already are confused about the whole thing?
Yeah. I just don't get it, guys. I really don't. It would have been freshman year, and I'm playing basketball, and there is a Houston guy and a Dallas guy, a Plano guy, and they're going back and forth. And the Houston
Plano guy.
Yeah, Plano guy. And the Houston guy, they're kind of going back and forth. They're getting mad at each other. The Houston guy gave some joke about ODing to the Plano guy. And you got to remember, this is 97, 98. So.
Well, that was the hair. That was the black
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, 60 minutes and that whole deal. And then the Dallas guy wasn't happy, and they go back and forth. The Dallas guy said something about the Buffalo game to the Houston guy.
Oh.
And I didn't think it was serious, and they almost came to blows, and I realized, man, the number two and the number three city, however you order it, really hate each other.
Very true. And yeah, I agree with that. We are number two and number three, Dallas and Houston.
There we go.
They do get
that we can all
other.
Agree on.
Wherever you're from and whatever you love, we're in Addison today, apparently. Twin Peaks, 5260. We're also in Dallas on Beltline Road. Come on by. We are in the cigar room talking plenty of Texas and Oklahoma, getting ready for this one. All right, Aaron, you wanted to reset something here involved in the game.
Just, I mean, it's interesting because they're, you know, a story earlier this week, orangebuzz.com, Anwar Richardson, who's been on your show a lot.
Yep.
Reported or tweeted that according to people he talked to at the UT football program, Chris Ash, the fired Rutgers head coach, was in town this week as a guest of Tom Herman and was putting another set of eyes on the Oklahoma offense and maybe helping out with the defensive game plan, to which Bruce Feldman, the national college football writer for The Athletic today, tweeted that, you know, Chris Ash wants it known he was just in town and made it seem like he was going to ACL or something, and just went over to say hi, to which Anwar Richardson fired back at him and said, that's BS. This is Texas OU week. Chris Ash was in town.
I love Guns N' Roses. What do you want to do? What's the problem?
You want to see Lizzo, man. Now, come on.
And people, I love Lizzo.
And the connection is they were both assistants at Ohio State under Urban Meyer, and Chris Ash was a defensive assistant and a defensive backs coach, which it is a fair question to then say, is there any part of Tom Herman, knowing how big this game is, that's a little nervous about Todd Orlando and the secondary and how they're being coached up or what they're seeing and game plan? Maybe nothing. Maybe just another set of eyes. But is it fair to even ask that question, that is Tom Herman a little bit nervous that, hey, we've got to do better in these spots because we're giving up a ton of yards. We're not our schemes are not where they need to be. Or yeah. Is it just, hey, this is a guy I trust. Let's have him look at what we're doing.
He's done both, though, right? He's brought it, like, we don't know. David Beatty wasn't officially, you know, with the
Greg Davis is helping out with the offense.
Greg Davis, right. So we know he does that with guys he likes and he's close to that he trusts. So it could be that, or it could be something a little bit, you know, maybe there's more to it.
It didn't work with David Beatty because that was before the Big 12 championship last year.
That's a great point.
And that did not really help Texas out.
What was Greg Davis before LSU?
But it's cool. You know, Rutgers is a way more established football program than Kansas. So I want to bring in all the help from Rutgers that we possibly
and Kansas.
Can right
and
what here.
It's not about the pro. It's about his personal friends.
Right.
People he likes, that
so,
kind of thing.
So, Rod, the question is, have you – and you do a lot of deep dives and stat breakdowns and stuff. Do we know what Chris Ash likes to do, doesn't like to do?
I have not.
Because I don't know much about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. He's not like a well-known commodity in the coaching world, like somebody you would covet. So I don't. I think it's more of a friendship thing and somebody that he just knows his his football IQ is really high or something like that.
I assume it's more – because, again, they were at Ohio State with some great teams and some great secondaries. And I assume it's just, hey – have a look. Where are we on this? Is there anything else you've seen that we're
what are you
doing?
Fresh eyes to it.
Yeah, and again, this is a historically great Oklahoma offense that we're talking about here. So the more the merrier. And he trusts Chris Ash. And I'm assuming Todd Orlando's like, hey, let's get this thing right.
They brought in Andre they brought in another defensive assistant, too.
An analyst, yes.
Yes, they brought in another defensive analyst earlier this year, too.
So, I mean, I would be of the opinion, and I know Tom Herman's big on the more information you get, let's do this. If something he sees or comes up with or can help with from any aspect, I think that's a good thing.
It is a great thing.
But at the same time, if you're one of the defensive assistants, you're a secondary coach, you're kind of thinking, hey, what's he doing here?
Hey, well, all of the contracts are one year. They're 1 year contracts right now.
I know that.
And Tom Herman has thrown that out there. Like, no, my guy's on 1 year deals, so I want y'all to be hungry. I want y'all to grind. And I want y'all to know that if y'all not producing, just like these players, I will bench you or I will replace you.
And you know that you're 124th in pass defense at this point in the country. And that guy was a secondary coach at Ohio State when he was there. And you're kind of like, oh, hi.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that it may be putting pressure on his guys. Like, hey, I need y'all to step it up. Let's go.
Yep. All right, we got more coming up here from Twin Peaks and Addison. Coming up, we'll get you your first, your one and only, one and done of the show. We'll throw it back to Kevin, let him throw a question to the group revolving around Texas and Oklahoma or anything he wants to talk about. We'll get that coming up. Also, we remind you that tomorrow it is Pluckers, the Link location back in town. If you're not headed up to Dallas, if you are, come see us with the Texas X's, the great tailgate that they do there. We'll be at the Texas X's tent right there near the museum. So come on and see us. Often there's a car show right there in the area, too, to let you know kind of what we're talking about, what part of Fair Park and the State Fair we're talking about. So definitely come check us out this weekend. We're here till 6:30. Then it's high school football. Friday night countdown cranks up at 6:30 right here on the Horn. Oh, grooving through a Friday. Sam Pica back in the studio producing for us. We haven't heard from Sam today, but he's always playing something funky. What do you got, Sam? Uh-oh. Sam wasn't ready to talk. I'm sorry, Sam. My bad.
Ah, sorry. The mic was not in the proper position. This is shock. Let's get cracking.
Shock with Let's Get Cracking. That's what we're talking about.
All you have to do is hit one button, Sam.
Yeah, it was more the slider thing. You know, ups and downs, man. Okay. Lefts and rights. Who knows?
All right.
You didn't have to call him out. I mean, geez.
No, I did.
Yeah, I guess you did. By the way, we're here at Twin Peaks in Addison. These little fried cheese, like the little squares.
Yeah, I ordered you guys a little sampler platter down there.
It's not even like a cheese stick. It's like a whisper. These are really dangerous. I could eat like 17 of those and not even blink.
Yeah.
My God, that's a dangerous food.
It's right in front of me, which I don't want to, but I can't not.
You take that. I don't need to be doing that. My goodness, that is tasty. Come out and check it out. Twin Peaks in Addison, 5260 Beltline Road. This time, each and every show, we get you a little one and done. Kevin Dunn is back in Austin. Remember, Pluckers, the link location tomorrow morning for the watch party. Kevin Dunn, how we doing today?
I'm doing great. Brad, you still hungry after that fast? Because that cheese probably sounds good, looks good right about now.
Oh, man, any food is good after a day of fasting, no doubt.
Well, happy
What did you start with?
Well, I went to CC's Pizza to break the fast. Of course, unlimited 65 feet of pizza, pasta, salad, desserts. I mean, why would I not go there? That's fine dining, and I showed up in a suit and tie because I just left the temple. So I'll tell you what, you go to CC's Pizza in a suit and tie, you get some looks. That's for damn sure.
Kevin, they thought he was interviewing for the manager's job.
I'd still be overdressed.
They thought he was Southern Jewish Mafia, which can be dangerous, by the way.
Oh, my God. That is awesome.
So, guys, let's give a quick shout-out to Johnny, bitter white guy, who is in-house. He actually, while you guys were coming up to Dallas, he was coming down here for certain things, so he decided to come by in the studio and say hi, and he's giving me the lowdown on Texas basketball, which I'll give to y'all the next couple weeks. Johnny, what's up?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up there, bitter white guy?
Hey, Chad, do you remember me?
Of course I remember you. Are you kidding?
That's true. I'm not in person, so you can remember me through phone. That
works. Dude, look, you got to remember, the very first time we met is one thing, but once you give me a wrestling mask as a gift, I never forget you.
Okay,
I don't care
who you are.
Just
needed a totem. That's what it was, a totem. All right,
right?
Fair enough.
Oh, dude.
I just got to get everybody at the station a totem, and they will all remember me.
You're in a different category because of that.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Yes, absolutely. So, do you have any Texas OU thoughts today? Do you follow Longhorn football closely enough to have like a breakdown, or are you just rooting, or are you terrified of this Oklahoma offense? What are you thinking?
Well, I tell you, the one thing that everyone in Dallas knows is the best thing to do Texas OU weekend is leave Dallas. So I'm in Austin. I'm going to try and enjoy the Austin traffic, which is a different flavor of terrible than the Dallas traffic. There's a lot more stoplights. You guys don't build highways here, which I forgot about.
No, we don't.
No. As for the game, it's going to be good. I don't know.
All right, he's got nothing there. So look, I mean, I gave him a shot at one and done, and there's nothing there. We will talk Texas basketball in the next couple of weeks, but I want to ask you guys and kind of throw it around a little bit around the round table that there's different ways to attack Jalen Hurts defensively. If you're Todd Orlando, you know there's some injuries and problems in the back end. Texas didn't get a sack last week. We've got two tackles, offensive tackles, that are probably out for Oklahoma. What do you guys do for the most part? You obviously have to mix it up, so I don't want to hear that answer that you got to have variations and mix it up. For the most part, do you go attack this guy and come after him, or do you sit back and make him thread the needle?
I was going to say mix it up, actually.
I know. I'm sorry. He was all over this, guys.
Rod, it's such an interesting question because of the tackle situation. Obviously, it's got to be a huge part of it. If they've got guys that they would rather have at guard playing tackle, doesn't there have to be a little extra pressure in Todd Orlando's mind?
Yeah, it's got to be a drop-off. I mean, notoriously, you move guys who you project to play tackle. If they can't play tackle, you're like, oh, let's move them to guard.
Kick him in, right?
He's not athletic enough to play tackle. Let's just move him inside. And now you're going to have R.J. Proctor with Tyrese Robinson, both of those guys projected guards who are going to be moving out to tackle. And I'm not saying they're going to be bad, but they're definitely not as good as the first options, Eric Swenson and Adrian Ealy. So if I'm Todd Orlando, blitzes and pressure from the edges. There are two guys on this team with double-digit hurries, and that is Joseph Asai and that is Malcolm Roach. I think the best thing for Texas is both of those guys are on the edges. You're getting B.J. Foster back. B.J. Foster has missed a ton of time, and he's still tied for the lead in the team on the team with sacks and third in tackles for loss. He's missed two games.
Yeah, I keep hearing, first of all, variations in mixed coverages is what let's do that too. I want to make sure everybody knows I have variations in mixed coverages as well as one of my takes. But
yes.
I keep hearing that, OU's offensive line is banged up, they're shorthanded, so let's blitz more. Let's bring more pressure. Let's bring more defenders to get in Jalen Hurts' face. That doesn't make sense to me.
It does.
Like, in a perfect world, because their O-line is so banged up, you only have to bring four.
Organic pressure.
Maybe five, and you can get pressure from just your defensive line and guys like Joseph Osai. So I think that actually helps Todd Orlando out a little bit. The hope is that he won't have to bring as many extra blitzers on the outside because OU's offensive line is so banged up. Because I don't know how much faith we have in these corners right now for Texas. No. Like, sure, Deshaun Jameson looked pretty good last week against West Virginia. CeeDee Lamb is a whole different animal than anything West Virginia's got. Oklahoma's passing offense is really, really good. And the one time we saw Texas go up against a great passing offense was LSU, and they couldn't get off the field. Joe Burrow had a historic day, and that was with Caden Stearns and Jalen Green both playing in that football
game.
And Josh Thompson, all those guys playing in that football game. So in a perfect world, the struggles, the lack of depth on that Oklahoma offensive line allows Texas to have a couple extra guys in the secondary to cover while still getting pressure on Jalen.
You're hoping you're still getting pressure.
Your front can get the pressure.
That's a perfect world. If that doesn't work, if you're doing that early and it doesn't work, then you have to go vintage Todd Orlando and bring extra guys.
Instead of the pressure, though, and I agree with you, I think you're right on the money there. Instead of the extra pressure from the back end, I think just adding Joseph Asai, who's your best pass rusher and also your best run defender on the front, just adding him to the front will apply that extra pressure. I agree with BK on that. He's the guy. Joseph Asai is basically your best player on defense right now anyway. He's your best pass rusher if you have him pass rushing and your best run defender. Add him to the mix when you're pass rushing because he only does that half the time, and I think that may be enough to tip the scales in your favor if those two starting tackles don't play.
Speaking of Joseph Asai, I got a question for you two guys here, and then Kevin, I'll throw it back to you for an answer as well. So I'm at the Texas-West Virginia game, and there's a play where Joseph Asai was head up going to – who cover the slot receiver for West Virginia. A timeout was called, and I thought it was Tom Herman calling it to say, oh, my God, we can't let Osai cover him. It was West Virginia that called the timeout, so Herman was comfortable with it. I kind of wonder if Lincoln Riley saw something like that. If Oklahoma ends up with a slot receiver somehow guarded by Joseph Osai, are you guys good with that? You comfortable with it? No timeout?
In that situation, I believe that Texas was playing like a three-deep safety look with their big nickel. It was a strange look because I remember that too.
Yeah.
He was playing the slot. I don't know exactly if it was going to be a zone coverage or a man coverage. I'm not sure, but you're right. I guarantee Lincoln Riley is looking at it going, I want to get that matchup if I can get it. All day, every day, twice on Sunday.
Wouldn't that worry you a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, Grant Calcaterra, the tight end against Joseph Osai, would worry me if you're
Calcaterra
putting a wide receiver out there.
Worry me. What is
now, it's weird. It's weird. Right. Calcaterra is an interesting guy. He was all Big 12 last year, and he torched Texas. Two touchdowns in the Big 12 championship, including the dagger. He only has 5 catches this year.
It's weird.
Like, he was a safety valve for Kyler Murray, but Jalen Hurts hasn't used him that much this year. So I'm curious if maybe that changes tomorrow. Maybe we see more Calcaterra. But so far, he hasn't really been much of a factor in this Oklahoma passing offense.
Kevin, what do you think? Osai guarding a slot receiver, are you screaming timeout or not?
No, I mean, not necessarily, and it kind of depends on where he's playing. These guys have talked about the inverted Tampa 2, where that middle will kind of, you know, bail back almost like Tampa 2, but you're really playing cover 3 like Rob was talking about. I'm a lot more sold not only after that, but, I mean, remember the spring game, guys? Jordan Whittington's running a wheel, and he's running it on Osai, and Osai was covering that for about 30 or 40 yards. At that point, I started to really believe in what Charles Minihue, our former intern, was telling us last year with his Nigerian brother, Joseph Osai, that now he would say that. He goes, yo, this is the next guy. Watch out. That showed a lot right there. So I think that maybe there's more coverage stuff in there and more athleticism than I certainly thought before.
Yeah, see, that's what I wonder, Rob. What if Lincoln Riley dials it up, has a situation, and he thinks he's got it? What if he's wrong? What if Osai actually – because that's what I was thinking of, is that play against Whittington in the spring game.
Yeah.
Is that why Tom Herman didn't call the timeout? Were he in Orlando thinking, ah, that's all right, 46 has this.
46. He might be the best player on your defense, so I'm not going to hate on 46 and say he can't do something.
Freak's a freak. He can cover anybody.
He's got 2 picks.
Man, I don't know.
He's got 2 sacks. He's got like 3 times. He's your best defensive player.
Yeah, going back to the original question, if he's lined up against a wide receiver, I'm scared, and we all should be scared.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Honestly, I'll take Joseph Asai over Kobe Boyce going to wide receiver.
Oh, that's scary. I think
Joseph Asai will find a way to make a play.
That is scary. All right, coming up, we've got your one and done for this hour, and it'll be your one and only today because we're out at 6:30 for Friday Night Countdown. Kevin's back in the studio, and remember, Pluckers, the link location tomorrow for the watch party. Coming up next, how about some picks? We'll go around the country a little bit. Somebody texted us. What do you guys think of the other Big 12 games? We got some nice rivalry games this weekend. Obviously, Texas and OU, huge rivalry matchup. But you've also got USC and Notre Dame. And an interesting game now has developed in Baton Rouge with Florida beating Auburn. Now the Gators go to play the Tigers in Baton Rouge. That one's interesting. Alabama and A&M. We'll hit all those, get some picks coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, plus the Cowboys and Texans have games this weekend. We'll get some picks on those as well. Twin Peaks is where we are, 5260 Beltline Road. We're here till 6:30. Come see us. Texas OU tomorrow at 11 right here on the Horn.